Good day, I'm Tom Scott, a member of the IASB. I have the privilege of commenting upon accounting for intangible assets suggested solutions. So I'm not sure if the standard setter's perspective, they're my views and not the views of the IFRS Foundation or the IASB. But I am a current member of the IASB. So this is a good and thoughtful paper that should be of interest to all IFRS stakeholders. I'm going to review only the subset of the many interesting elements of the paper that I personally find most compelling. The paper follows the earlier collective efforts of the authors, including the paper Moving the Conceptual Framework Forward, Accounting for Uncertainty. I note this earlier paper in particular because its title, when compared to the title of the current paper, may be at least as, if not more, instructive concerning the contents of the paper before us. So we go to slide 2, please. The slide is entitled Accounting for Intangibles, Qua Accounting Under Uncertainty. I'm going to start with an observation. We tend to classify things based on superficial characteristics. These superficial characteristics are sometimes of little use in helping us to solve problems. In fact, such classification sometimes prevents us from identifying inherent problem structures or recognizing problem structures that are common to superficially different things. The superficial classification can create an intellectual myopia. This paper looks beyond the issue of tangible versus intangible classification to consider a deeper and more general accounting problem, one that relates to the uncertainty concerning investment and the resolution of that uncertainty over time. How best can we provide users with information in this context? The paper teaches us a great deal in this regard. Let me begin with how does uncertainty over investments manifest itself? So if we could flip the slide, please. So at the time of investment, there's a separability issue. And there are at least two distinctions with respect to uncertainty over investments. The first distinction is uncertainty over what constitutes investment versus expense at the time of investment. Separating investment where investment is expenditure benefiting future periods from expenditures benefiting the current period can be difficult. The slide lists 5 potential investments. Capital expenditures, inventory costs, research expenditures. In these first 3 cases, we can generally identify the investment. In the first 2, we capitalize, and the third, we expense. The latter choice highlights the uncertainty of outcomes problem the authors address a little bit later. In the next 2 cases, advertising, training costs, it's harder to distinguish and measure expenditures related to investments. Ideally, we should capitalize expenditure benefiting future periods. This requires the ability to isolate expenditures. As well, future benefits need to be high enough to justify capitalization. A variant on this challenge is that the benefit derived from a single unit of spending may be realized over the current period and future periods. This suggests allocating the unit of spending between expense in the current period and capitalization for subsequent expense in future periods, but such an allocation requires reasonably precise estimates of current and future benefits. If we could advance to slide 4, please. The second distinction relates to uncertainty over outcomes. Even if we can identify investments, how can we establish the correct periods over which the investment supports revenues? Can we establish an appropriate amortization pattern and period? And can we identify when an investment is impaired in a timely way? If so, we could report a periodic income measure, or at least information related to this concept, that more closely captures the underlying economic performance of an entity over time. Capitalization should lead to a subsequent amortization of investment on the income statement in the periods in which revenues are derived from the consumption of the investment. This should help in decisions related both to making investments and to assessing stewardship. As uncertainty over outcomes increases, however, capitalization inevitably introduces mismatching errors from imprecise amortization with attendant impairments, and these errors make the information less useful. I turn now to the suggested solutions provided in the article. So if we go to the 5th slide, please. So the first one was initial recognition as an expense. Current accounting responds to uncertainty by expensing current investment when there is greater uncertainty. This binary approach can provide a poor signal of the current profitability of the business because it mixes investment with current expenditures. This is often justified by citing the difficulty in providing an economically meaningful amortization schedule that would provide a representationally faithful measurement of income. While the defense is legitimate, the problem remains that the future profitability of the business is not linked to the investment that helped create it. There is mismatching. It is possible to augment the information conveyed through expensing an expenditure, or for that matter, through capitalizing it, by providing additional information in the notes. Item 3 on the slide observes that at present, this problem is not rectified by providing in the notes additional information related to identifying or measuring investments that are expensed. R&D is an attempt, however, as the authors make clear, the disclosure combines the expense investment in research with expensed amortization of development and expensed impairments. It is not focused on investment. The many stakeholders who have expressed concern and dissatisfaction with accounting for intangibles suggest there is significant room for improvement in this regard. We go to slide 6, please. Recognizing the investment as an asset could correct the initial mismeasurement in the period of investment. However, separability remains a challenge, and most importantly, absent good estimates for amortization, future periods' income will not be measured in a representationally faithful way. As well, similar to the current practice to expense in certain items, this is a binary result, and the simple act of classification cannot convey the degree of uncertainty attached to the investment. Where uncertainty is high, this problem may be compounded through frequent or large impairments that may have little to do with the performance in the period the impairment is taken. Unit of account can also be an issue. The law of large numbers could help provide better estimates if there are sufficient like items to form a portfolio. The number of like items, however, will vary substantially from entity to entity. The author suggests establishing a threshold for capitalization when an ex ante amortization schedule can be set with minimal ex post matching error, yielding information earnings. While this solution still leaves the problem of conveying information about uncertainty for items that fall below the threshold, it could be helpful in providing some useful information. Further, it could be combined with other initiatives because it does not preclude providing additional information through other means. We could go to the next slide, please. I think that conditional capitalization is an exciting idea that can provide more information on the degree of uncertainty and its resolution. Expense uncertain items, but identify them in the income statement, also identifying the offsetting entry on the balance sheet as some sort of special account. I think this would most likely be an equity, possibly in a subaccount in retained earnings. If uncertainty resolves favorably, perhaps capitalize and then amortize. If uncertainty resolves unfavorably, perhaps transfer to regular retained earnings. This provides significant additional information concerning the uncertainty of investments, both at the time of the investment and subsequently. It would remove some of the noise from current earnings and potentially reduce some mismatching with respect to future earnings. This would, however, be a radically different approach to partitioning the income statement. The focus would be on providing better information concerning the uncertainty underlying investments and the resolution of that uncertainty. It ventures into unexplored territory, seeking to find a way to address a continuum of uncertainty. On slide 8, there are possible alternatives. The slide lists possible alternatives. The first relates to capitalizing investment as an asset. More precise principles on a viable threshold could provide useful information and reduce mismatching, albeit in a limited way. More complete information might be obtained by combining this first alternative with other possibilities. Each of the next three possibilities employ conditional capitalization or some variant thereof. However, they differ by the location of the information. The second would embed conditional capitalization in the formal primary. The third in the notes, perhaps analogous to the changing price experiment from the late 70s, and the fourth in management commentary. We would need to demonstrate feasibility and usefulness before contemplating any large-scale investment implementation of any of these. which brings me to my last slide. So the idea that I find most exciting is conditional capitalization plus...
Tom, just say you've got 3 minutes left.
Yeah, I'm on my last slide, so it's okay. The idea of conditional capitalization plus supplementary information on the degree of and resolution of uncertainty. So this looks at a possible path to demonstrating the feasibility and usefulness of what I think is a quite promising idea. So I think we need to refine the idea by working with interested stakeholders, including users and a set of willing entities. Focus on maximizing the information within a feasible, cost-effective approach. Have the entities apply the developed approach in a set of experimental, publicly available disclosures. Have users employ the information, provide feedback on its usefulness. Have auditors comment on the feasibility of auditing the new information. And finally, academics can help provide useful information through experiments and or examination of price responses or user reactions to the limited sample. I think such a path could demonstrate feasibility. This might then lead to a significant reporting improvement in an area of widespread agreement on the need for reporting. If we go to the very last slide, I enjoyed reading this paper very much, and thank you for the opportunity to have commented.